Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What the Hack, where we give you tips for story time, playtime, and bedtime. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 198. Hello, Shauna.
Hello, Laura. Have we suddenly decided we're having a serious podcast?
I thought 198 episodes in, we would change the format. So this is now an in-depth interview show where we talk about our obscure hobbies for 2 straight hours.
Excellent. I cannot wait to talk about how I love to carve fondant flowers with tiny tools.
Yes, you should make sure you explain every detail about what size the tools are, maybe in millimeters. That would help.
I'll bring all the excruciating details. Don't you worry.
Just kidding. Late or early Phew. April Fools, depending on when you're listening. Yeah. No, this is just our normal show, and I'm just here for our normal check-ins. I want to know what's going on with you guys and how you've been this week.
I've been up and down.
Ooh.
Yes. So I have mentioned we're on the preschool search, and I did put an application into a school nearby, and they were like, okay, we'll send you the enrollment forms, and she can start in like 3 weeks. And I was like, okay. And they just didn't send me those forms, and I followed up, and then they still didn't send them to me yet. And in the meantime, I was like, well, maybe it's the wrong choice. I don't know. There was this other preschool nearby. It's a new preschool, and we did like that one. And the thing I liked about that one is that the director has a background in child behavior. She spent like 12 years as an ABA and had like this lifelong dream of opening a preschool with a big emphasis on understanding child behavior. She was really passionate when I talked to her, and she was like, you know, we believe there's no bad kids. There's just behavior that needs to be addressed, and et cetera, et cetera. And the other day, Cece just had one of her massive, massive meltdowns where there was no consoling her, et cetera. And I was left ragged after that tantrum. And I was like, Steve, maybe the preschool with like an emphasis on child behavior would be great for Cece. And so I flip-flopped, and we went back to that preschool for another tour and to fill out the paperwork and everything, because I just completely changed my mind. And now we're signed up for a different preschool, and she starts on Monday.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. Whiplash there.
Total whiplash. And the feelings I had that day when I took her down there for the second time, we were looking around and just feeling insecure about my decision, I came home and I like broke down crying in front of Steve. And I was like, why am I so like anxious and insecure about making this decision? Like, the preschool seems fine. And I don't know if he said it or I said it, but we came to the conclusion that I'm having a lot of big feelings about letting her go and separating from her after 3 years of just 24/7 being together, basically.
Yeah.
And especially because it is whiplash, like now suddenly she's starting Monday instead of like 3 weeks from now. And I had to cry it all out, and that took me by surprise because I've been so excited to have free time. But I guess I'm just way more emotional about it than I realized.
Well, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's fair to have two conflicting feelings at once. You know, you can be looking forward to the free time and also, you know, being scared of losing that time. And I think that's totally understandable. I feel the same way. Like, it's that thing, that Lucy Nisley book that's like, Go to Sleep, I Miss You thing, right? It's like little babies when they're little babies and don't sleep. And you're just like, oh my God, please, for the love of God, go to sleep. And then once they're asleep, you're like, I miss my baby. I want to snuggle my baby.
Oh, so relatable.
Yeah. I think it's fine to have a go to school, I miss you feeling there.
Yeah.
You've been... She's been attached to your hip basically for 3 years.
Yes. More or less, I've been working full time with her around all the time. And obviously with the pandemic, like I don't go into the office occasionally anymore and take her to the little daycare. Like it's just been us this whole time. So it's definitely going to be a transition, an adjustment. And yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. And that's kind of what I have to report this week.
Yeah, I think for me, I definitely struggled with some of those feelings, though we kind of eased into preschool, which was nice. You know, the 2 day a week thing was definitely nice to start with, because maybe not for him, but for me, like mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was losing my baby. But for me, the lack of control over his like schedule and what he eats, and not even maybe not control, but like understanding, like I couldn't fathom the fact that I wasn't going to know like everything he did in a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, he's going to come home and start talking about things I don't know about.
That's which so is true.
So weird. But, you know, I'm happy to report that it's kind of fun to mm-hmm. hear him come home and like give reports about weird things that happen at school. So I think you'll both do great. And, you know, it'll be a transition, like you said, but it'll be a good one.
And we're not easing into it, which is also making it difficult. Like, I'm putting her in full time. They're open from 8 to 5 every day. I'll probably pick her up around 3, because that's the nice thing about working from home, right? You mm-hmm. can like pop over to the kids' school and get them a little early and have them hang out with you while you finish your work day and spend more time together. But still, that's still a lot of hours mm-hmm. to be apart. And the other great thing about this preschool is they feed her like 3 meals. All included in the price. I'm like, yes, I don't have to pack a lunch. So
I'm so jealous.
You know, yeah, it is. That's a nice task to be taken off my plate for sure.
Our school used to do it, and then they took it away during the pandemic, theoretically for like health reasons.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they put out a survey recently asking if people wanted like hot lunch back. And they apparently didn't get enough people who were interested to like do it. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you parents? Like, let's do this. I don't want to pack these lunches anymore.
Well, clearly you need to go down there with big signs and protest this bullshit.
Start going through the roster, the school roster, and just emailing all the parents and be like, let me make my case here.
That's a good use of your time, Laura. Get on it. Get on it. Anyway, so that's my check-in. And I do want to know what you've actually been doing with your time this week. So why don't you give us your check-in?
Okay, so my entire check-in happens at night.
Ooh.
It is a nighttime themed check-in for this week.
Okay.
So lately I've been trying to claim a little more time for myself. I feel like I had a little bit of a revelation recently that was like, Corey gets to do stuff like go to tennis, and I like protect his time for that. And, you know, he works from home and I protect his time for that. And I was starting to feel really resentful about all the time I was protecting for him and like how I wasn't getting any time for me, like literally zero.
Right.
You know, I would get time off from watching the kids, but I'd inevitably be like running errands or cleaning the house or like just doing or editing the podcast or recording the podcast. Like it was never just like, I go and relax or do something fun. So I was like, this week I'm going to reclaim my time and I'm going to go out to dinner with some mom friends. Like, basically, I asked Corey if he had a problem with it. Of course, he said no. But I basically told him, like, I'm going out on Wednesday with my friends. Is that cool? He's like, yep, okay. So I did, Shauna. I did. I was like,
oh my God, fun. How foreign.
It was fun. There are 5 of us, all from Mommy and Me class. It was all the moms from our second time Mommy and Me class. So we all have 3-year-olds and 1-year-olds. Sebastian right now is 13 months and Augie is 3 years and 2 months. And so we all have kids like within a few months of each other, like 2 kids each within a few months of each other. So we really get each other. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing quite like finding people who have kids the exact same ages as yours, because like, I know you know this, and this is like basically the premise of our podcast, right? Like that when you're in it, like that time is so unique and special. And like a 14-month-old is really different from a 16-month-old even, you know? So like having that connection is awesome. And so we went out to dinner. We went to this place in Highland Park called Hippo. It's like this very hip restaurant. It was such good food. And we were having so much fun. And I took an Uber so I could have 2 drinks.
Nice.
Lookout world. And it was awesome. And
that sounds so fun.
It was so great. I mean, I haven't done that in, I don't even know how long. Like, I don't, it was pandemic, because the pandemic, I forget. I'm like, why haven't I done that more? The pandemic. That little pandemic we had. So yeah, it was great. And I was like riding high on my freedom. And I came home just after 10. And I usually dream feed Sebastian around 10. I still haven't gotten rid of the dream feed because, like, I don't know. It's probably a combination of me being sentimental because he's probably my last baby and also like being worried that he's going to wake up at night. So anyway, point is, I usually dream feed him around 10 and then I go to bed. Well, I get home riding high off my wonderful night with my mom friends. And Corey greets me with the monitor. He's like, yeah, he's been screaming for about a half hour.
Oh, no. He meaning Sebastian.
He meaning Sebastian, yes. So I was like, all right, that's okay. Maybe he just wanted his dream feed a little early because I did put him down a little early so I could get out the door. Mm. No big deal, right? So I went in. I nursed him for 40 minutes.
What?
Which is crazy, like really long. But he just kept wanting to relatch. And I was like, okay, I'll feed you. I was looking at TikTok with my AirPods in. It was fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put him back down. He put his little head down and I left the room and I went to start getting ready for bed. 10 minutes later, crying and sitting up again.
Mm.
Like, fuck, man. This child ended up being awake until midnight, Shauna.
What?
So like basically he'd been crying since 9:30. I nursed him, put him down. It was up for another hour. We were trying to do like check-ins and all that stuff, that sleep training stuff. Nothing was working.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally just like went in to his room, like took my shirt off and like lay down on the couch with him and just like let him nurse to sleep. And I slept like that till 3 a.m.
Wow.
And he was happy. But I just like couldn't sleep on the couch anymore. And I thought about bringing him into our bed, but our mattress, like our bed frame and mattress is really high off the ground. And I'm like afraid of him falling off of that. So I didn't want to take him into bed with us, even though that was like the obvious solution. So I was like, okay, he's been nursing for like 3 hours, basically, on and off. I can just put him down and I'll like, he'll probably sleep the rest of the night. Tiptoe out, just enough time for me to like put my head down on my pillow when I hear him crying again.
No.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck. And I was like, Corey, it's your turn. Will you please go? So he went and slept on the couch with him in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put my head down again. And not 10 minutes later, do I hear Augie calling my name?
Oh, God.
Mama. Mama. And I was like, oh. So I walk in. And the big news on his front is that we had removed pull-ups at night for him.
Oh, okay.
He had wanted, we weren't like going to night train, but he just stopped wanting to wear pull-ups like a few days prior to that. And lo and behold, he had an accident in bed at 4 a.m. So I go in and thankfully I had like prepared for this. I knew this was coming. I was just like, I could tell because he had started to kind of resist putting them on. So I like went on my mom's groups and was like, who has extra sheets, extra crib sheets? And like people stepped up and I got a bunch of extra crib sheets. So I was like, okay, ready to go. So I went in and we changed his bed sheet and all this stuff, but he just could not calm down. He was really stressed out by it.
Aww.
And I was so tired that I then was like, fuck it, I'm gonna sleep in his room. So he has a nugget right next to his bed, and I had forgotten to bring a pillow in, but I was so tired I didn't even want to walk back to my room and get it. So like, I pulled over this giant Baby Yoda Squishmallow type pillow. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, I love Squishmallows. They're great pillows, so you're hooked up.
Yeah, it's off brand, but it was like, you know, huge pillow.
Uh-huh.
It was honestly so comfortable, Shauna.
I love those things.
So yeah, so I slept in his room from 4 to 7 on the nugget using Baby Yoda as my pillow.
They're like, that's what you get, mom, for going out with the girls and trying to be a regular lady.
Exactly. Like, I texted my friends the next morning. I was like, I was punished. My children punished me for going out to dinner. Like, I know they didn't, but it's like, that's exactly how it felt. It was like, I can't just have one good night. You know what I mean? So it's still a mystery what's going on. Sebastian's still like having weird intermittent wake ups in the middle of the night. I think his molars might be coming in.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Thankfully, Augie is doing better. Like, that was the only night he woke up this week. But like, fuck, Shauna. I'm tired.
That's so brutal. Were you able to catch up on any sleep the next day?
I did end up napping. I think we were actually supposed to like record ads or something. And I was like, I need a rain check. Eliza is here and I need to sleep.
Good for you. That's what you should do.
I had two gin and tonics last night. Anyway, so that is my nocturnal check-in. My very fun and then very bad night.
Well, at least you got the fun part. You didn't like, you know, have to suffer all that stuff and have just sat on the couch watching, I don't know, HGTV all day, all night.
That's true. I could have been watching Love It or List It, and they always love it. So I could have been like very bored and then had a bad night's sleep. So you're right.
Exactly.
But anyway, that is my check-in. I actually think it leads into our special segment because I have some hacks that might help with these bad nights. Hopefully.
I hope so.
Should we take a break and then come back and hear them?
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is What the Heck, where we share some cool parenting hacks we've picked up, stuff that will save you time, save you grief, and maybe just help you with your parenting journey. And Shauna, mm-hmm. We have a bunch of these, so we're not going to dawdle. We're going to get them done because we need to share these with our listeners. So what is your first What the Heck?
So, you know when your kid gets sick and they get a course of antibiotics that's like for 10 days or something? And I don't know if you're anything like me, but within a couple days, I kind of lose track of the doses. And it's like, Steve, did you give it to him? Did I give it to him? Did I give it to him last night? I don't know. I always try to just manage that shit in my brain. And it's it doesn't work. It's frustrating. And so I have a little hack for that.
Okay, please tell.
And credit for this goes to someone in my mom's group. I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, but that's where I learned this. It's as simple as just taking a Sharpie and writing the dates or the doses on right on the bottle or right on the box of medication, and then like putting a check mark on it after every dose. So it's like first dose in the morning, give it to them, and then you just take your marker and check it off right on the bottle. So it's just right there. You can always see whether or not you've done it. Of course, you have to like remember to do the check mark, but I have found it really helpful. And I even did it with Sasha the other day because she got an ear infection and we had to do 10 days of like twice a day ear drops. And I used this hack. I just right away like wrote every single day for like 10 days the dates on right on the box of medication. And every time we did it, we just checked it off. And I know we missed a couple doses because we forgot to check it. But I feel like in general, it just kept all of us, meaning me and Steve, more on track and organized with doling out the medication.
I used a similar method back when my now gone cat Molly was old and sick, and I had to give her like, oh God, like three different medications at different times of day. And I like stumbled upon this as well because I was like, how the hell am I going to remember like steroids morning and evening, antibiotics in the afternoon? You know, it was just like managing her poor little elderly kitty cat body. And super helpful. I'm a huge fan of just having like a Sharpie next to your fridge for all kinds of things. Like I always write the date I open something like directly on the packaging. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that are like best buy, like for instance, chicken stock, right? I like will buy these cartons of chicken stock and use them in cooking. And before they're open, they're best by like months in advance, right? But once you open it, it's only good for like a week. So I'll write the date I opened it on that. I'll do the same thing with like pouches, the baby food pouches, because they're only good for like two or three days in the fridge, and inevitably, like, multiple people open multiple pouches, and Sebastian doesn't, he's very picky about what pouches he likes. So having a Sharpie near the fridge is, like, definitely a necessity in my life.
Absolutely. Just make sure it's high enough that those little hands can't get it, because, oh my God, we've had so much Sharpie all over our dining table.
No. And,
I managed to get it off, but, like, that is one of my biggest fears, is that they're just going to take a Sharpie to my furniture or something.
Oh, man.
All right. So anyway, that's my first hack. What do you got for us?
Okay, I teased this in the outro to the first segment, but my first hack is basically a way to lie to your children to help them with their fears.
Oh, okay.
So this is something I actually learned from the Dr. Becky podcast, and she was asked about how to deal with children's fears, and there was like a question from someone about how, like, their kid had become afraid of ants in their bed. I don't know if you heard this episode.
Mm-mm.
So there had been an incident where I guess, like, ants had actually, like, gotten on her bed frame, and they, like, took care of it and got rid of the ants. But now this child was, I think, like, with good reason, afraid that ants were going to come back, right? And even though the parents had reassured her, no, we had the exterminator, we did all this, you know, like, she was still afraid. So what Dr. Becky recommended was to do something that was like a physical, like, manifestation of, like, protecting your child from the fear, and have it sort of be like a ritual thing. Mm-hmm. And so she had a example, like, you can do like a ghost spray, I think is what the example was. She was like, you take a spray bottle, you fill it with water and maybe a drop of essential oil or something, and you say, like, this is anti-ghost spray, and every night we go and we spray it in each corner so the ghosts can't come in your room, and mommy knows, like, mommy is so smart and mommy's been around a long time, and I know that this keeps ghosts away. Mm-hmm. And, like, give your kid some power, right? Mm-hmm. To feel like they're doing something proactive to assuage those fears.
Right.
And so, yeah, like the anti-ghost spray or something similar. So what I did recently, Augie was afraid of the noise that the air conditioner and heater made, like, anytime our central air came on. It was in a ceiling, and it makes, like, kind of a low rumbling. And I was just, like, in his room before bedtime, and it came on. And he goes, what's that? Do you hear that? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's just the air conditioner. And he's like, I'm scared. So I took his toy hammer from his, like, toy toolkit. And I was like, okay, so this hammer can help figure out if a sound is scary or safe. And so I've been trained in this, so I'm gonna test around. And I took, like, the hammer and I, like, tapped it on the ceiling and, like, acted really serious about it. And I was like, okay. So I can hear and I can tell that that is a normal sound and it's nothing to be afraid of. And I gave him the hammer. He couldn't reach the ceiling, but, like, had him tap around to see if sounds were and, like, tried to give him the power. And it worked that night, at least. Like, he didn't wake up and say he was afraid of the noise. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So you can call it lying or just pretend play. But giving your kid some kind of physical way to feel like they're protecting themselves in an imaginary way.
I have heard of the spray one. I heard it in terms of monster spray. And Cece was having mild to moderate fear of monsters for a little bit. And one night we were all getting ready for bed and Steve was with her in her bedroom. And I came in with we have just like a rose water facial mist, you know, that the girls like to spray on their face and stuff in the bathroom. And I had heard about this monster spray thing. So I walk in and I was like, Cece, this is monster spray. It's going to keep all the monsters away. And I spray it around the room. And Steve like looks at me. He's like, there's no such thing as monsters.
Steve.
Cece, there's no such thing as monsters. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's no such thing as monsters. Okay, bye. Like, I guess we didn't discuss that one ahead of time. Whoopsies.
I mean, because I don't know. I feel like, sorry, Steve, come on. Like, we're leaning into the pretend. Like, I get the impulse to think that, like, just saying there's no such thing as monsters would solve the problem, but they're not logical, right? Like, it's an emotional problem that you're trying to meet with an emotional solution.
Yeah.
Exactly. But anyway. Sorry the monster spray didn't work for you.
Thanks. It's all right. She ended up getting over it, so that's good.
Okay. So what's your next hack?
My next hack is whispering.
Oh.
Tell me more.
So, okay. So not just whispering like all the time or for no reason.
Is this going to become an ASMR podcast?
Yes, that's the direction our podcast is going to go now. If I had fingernails, I would like gently.
Oh, I can't handle that kind of ASMR. It just chills down my spine.
Ugh, all right. Okay. Well, let's shake that off. Okay, moving
okay,
on.
Okay, okay, okay. But tell me why whispering is a mom hack.
Okay. So this came to me through Dr. Becky also when I was watching the first half of that parenting course that I bought, like parenting for difficult kids or sensitive kids, whatever she called them.
Parenting for those little jerks. No, I'm just kidding. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Those little assholes.
I saw something recently that was like in Polish, the word for, there's like a slang term for toddlers that roughly translates to shitlings.
What? Oh my god.
And I made the mistake of showing Corey, and now he's like, actually, he was like, you little shitling. Like, and I'm like, that's really not nice. He's like, it's so accurate. I'm like, I don't care how accurate it is. It's just not nice to call them shitlings. And now, of course, in the back of my mind, like anytime they do something shitty, I'm like, God, you little shitling.
I just love the idea of Dr. Becky calling one of her courses course for little shitlings. Of course, I'd be like, perfect, sign me up.
I mean, that's probably what our parenting course is when we finally dive into like, oh, and if you're having trouble in your parenting journey, just for $39.99, you can buy our course, Parenting Little Shitlings. 10 solutions for your little turds. All
right. So funny.
Okay, sorry. I totally derailed that. So you bought Dr. Becky's course that was not called Parenting Little Shitlings. It was something much more respectful.
Yeah, and one of the things she mentioned in her long list of suggestions and strategies was using secrets for these kids. And I know that like secrets, some people have an issue with like secrets with kids and families.
Yeah, like there's a whole thing about how secrets can be dangerous. Like it's something that predators can use to groom your kids. So, you know, you don't have secrets, you have like surprises or something, right? It's a language change, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. So I took it with a grain of salt. And basically what she was saying is like these kids can feel special if you kind of like bring your voice down. You're like, hey, Cece, I need to tell you something. And then they like, for some reason, they kind of tune in to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the other day, Cece was having a massive meltdown, as she does. And it was going on for a while. And I just was sitting there being with her throughout it. And then I remembered this thing about like secrets, whispering. And I saw something on the floor of the bathroom, which is where we were. I think like a glass had broken recently and there was like a piece of glass in the corner of the bathroom. It caught my eye. And so all of a sudden I was just like, Cece, what is that? And she's like, huh? And she stopped crying completely and looked to where I was pointing. And I was like, oh my gosh, is that a piece of glass? And she's like, oh, yeah. I was like, why do you think that piece of glass is there? And she just like snapped out of her meltdown completely.
Wow.
And we had a whole whisper conversation about this glass. And like by the time we were done whispering about this glass, she had forgotten about her tantrum. And I've used this technique several times since then. I'd used it this morning.
Wow.
She was sitting on my lap crying and having a tantrum. And I happened to see a piece of cereal on our carpet that someone had stepped on and smushed, right? So I was like, Cece, what is that? She like snapped out of it and she looked on the ground at the piece of cereal. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, oh my gosh, is that a rock or what is that? And it just hurt. She was like completely focused on this random piece of cereal because I was like whispering it to her, right? And like it felt special or something. So that has become a hack I use, not always successfully, but often successfully to kind of snap her out of meltdowns.
Oh, I'm 100% going to use this because it reminds me of this thing where it's like, if your kid is having a meltdown, one way you can try to snap them out of it is to like change the sensory input or the environment. So like if you're inside, go outside. If it's loud in the room, make it quiet. If it's, you know, bright, make it dark, that sort of thing. And this is in line with that, right? If like you're talking at full voice, like take it down, talk quietly. And yeah, I could see that working.
Yeah, it's so interesting because if I talk to her in my regular voice, it just pisses her off more. Like, it is crazy. She just, like, screams more, gets mad at me. I can't do it. But, yeah, if I bring it down and draw her attention to something, you know, odd, that helps. So awesome. I just wanted to share that hack.
Thank you.
Okay, so what's your next mom hack?
Okay, so mine is also something, it combines your last two. It's something I heard on a mom's group that I don't remember who said it. And it's a method of like talking to your kids that's like a nice hack to get you out of your normal routine. Okay, so I came across a thread in a mom's group that was like asking for tips on how to tell like stories to your young children. Because like there was a child who needed to be told a story every night before bed. And they were like, I've run out of ideas. There's only so many princesses I can talk about and all this stuff, right? And so this was a super long thread of super like great information from different parents about what they do. But there was one comment that I had never thought of before and that I tried immediately because I was like, this is genius. And what they said was, if all else fails, just tell them stories about themselves. They love that shit.
Oh, heck yeah.
And I was like, of course. So the other night I was doing Augie's bedtime routine and he didn't want any of the 5,000 books we own or the like additional 2,000 we had checked out from the library. And he was like, tell me a story. And we used to tell Captain Augie flying his X-Wing stories, but those have gotten old. And this comment came to mind. I was like, oh, story about himself. So I said, Augie, do you want to hear about the day you were born? And he just lit up. I was like, yeah. And so I started telling him in excruciating detail, not gory detail, but like, you know, every detail I can think of to like keep the story extended about like the day he was born, you know, like checking into the hospital and how I felt and Grandma Susan was there and, you know, just going into all these details. The whole time he was like rapt and asking follow-up questions. And he was like, it's just such a cute visual in my mind because I was like leaning back on the Nugget. I was on one of those triangle pillows on the Nugget and my knees were up and he was like leaning on my shins with his like little chin on my knee and he was just like fascinated. So I am going to be doing this as much as possible because first of all, it's like easier to tell those kind of stories because you remember them, you know?
Yeah.
You're not coming up with things whole cloth. And it's just sweet to like recount this stuff with them. So yeah, tell them stories about themselves.
I love that. That's so close to something I wrote down for one of my hacks, too.
Oh, really?
So interesting.
Let's hear it.
It's somewhat related that it's about real stuff. And specifically, this hack is if you want your kids to get sleepy by you telling them a story. And my mom actually did this and gave me this idea. You start just telling them about what you did that day in excruciating detail. So you don't have to be creative. You don't have to like come up with story arcs or characters or anything. It's just like this morning. And in a low, relaxed voice, this morning I got in the car. I turned on the ignition, put on my seatbelt. turn on my blinker and my kids, at least they will listen, but it's so boring that eventually they'll fall asleep and it's amazing. Like, so yeah, that was mine.
That's awesome. That's so funny.
Yeah.
So there you go, listeners. We solved your bedtime story conundrum.
Yes.
Shauna, what other conundrums do you have solutions for?
I often have bath time conundrums, and I feel like I've shared bath time hacks before, but I have another one for y'all.
Okay.
When the girls are in the bath and they're kind of resistant to being scrubbed and getting their hair washed and stuff, I make it a grooming salon because, you know, my kids love to pretend to be cats and dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And... they don't want their hair washed with shampoo, but if I call it fur and say that I'm grooming it, they're suddenly super cooperative. So I'm like, come here, Cece. I need to groom your fur. I need to get that fur nice and clean. And she's like, okay, and comes on over.
Amazing.
And I soap her up and I get the job done. It's, I mean, I don't know if it's just for my kids because they're so into pretending to be cats and dogs, but I thought I'd throw it out there just in case it was helpful.
I'll try it. See what happens.
Yeah. And then just tacking on to that, what we did the other night is, you know how I used to put the like the little step stool in the bathtub and I would sit in there with like when they were babies, sit in the tub with them to kind of help them sit up and wash them. So I haven't done that forever, right? But the other day, Elle had the idea to put the stool in the bathtub with them, like as a separator between them. And it somehow turned into a salon chair. We weren't doing cat and dog grooming. But I was like, when it's your turn to get washed, you have to sit or stand on the salon chair. And they were so excited about that. So they got onto the stool. And I was like, now's time for your pampering. And I would scrub them. And I'm like, ooh, I'm massaging your hands, your shoulders, ooh, your hair. And I was like, oh, this feels amazing. It's like a massage. And we just did a whole like grooming thing. And they were excited to get scrubbed when they went onto the salon chair. So just
amazing.
Getting creative with bath time to avoid the fights.
Oh, the fights. The fights. Okay, I'll try that.
No.
It might have to be like a Wookiee grooming salon. In
there
our
you
house.
Go. Yeah, Wookiees have plenty of fur that need to be cleaned.
It's true.
All right. What's your next hack for us?
Okay. I actually have a water related hack. I'll do that one next.
Okay.
Okay. So this next hack is a water table hack that I saw on TikTok. So we have a water table that I got off of one of my mom's groups for like $5. It's awesome. That's like, I think it's a Step 2 brand, but I'm not 100% sure, where it's like a basin at the bottom. And then there's like another platform up top with holes that's perforated and like turns into a little waterfall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have older kids, they can scoop the water and pour it up top and it comes down. But Sebastian's not coordinated to do that and he's not tall enough to do that. So what's been going on, it's been getting warmer. We've been using the water table more and I have to like constantly either like spray the hose up there and then it like ends up being too much water and it spills, or I'm constantly having to scoop. And the whole point of having a water table is that you can like do hands-off parenting, right? Like get them entertained, right?
Exactly.
Which is why when I saw this hack on TikTok, I like immediately ran to Amazon to get the product they talked about.
Okay, so the problem here is that the little kids can't get water up top to make a waterfall, just to recap.
So the problem is that it's really fun for the kids to see the waterfall happen, but it requires work. So you either have to do it yourself or you have a kid that's too small to do it for themselves, right?
Gotcha.
Like they can't reach, or they just don't understand the, like, you know, you have to take a scoop of water and pick it up. But Sebastian legitimately can't reach right now. So I saw a TikTok that solves this problem for you. And I ran to Amazon immediately to buy the product that helped. And what it is you take a battery operated water pump and you strap it to your water table. So it pumps water from the bottom to the top and creates a continuous looping waterfall.
Smart.
Yes. So I'm sending you a video of it. I'm also going to let you know who taught me this, so credit can be where credit's due. Okay, so I learned this from the TikTok handle Busy Mom of Many, and it's just awesome. So we'll link to the TikTok in our show notes, and I just sent you a video of Sebastian playing with the contraption.
Oh, cute. Oh, that's cool. Okay, so it really is like a lot of rain type drips that come down. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I could see why you would want that to be continuous. That's super fun. They should have just built this water table with a pump in it.
They should have, but you can get it for $23 on Amazon. So
sweet. That'd be fun in the bathtub too.
It'd be fun in the bathtub. It'd be fun. You know, like I can think of a lot of uses for this. Also, I can see it as a way to drain a kiddie pool into like buckets.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. So definitely a good use of your, you know, Amazon gift card if you have one. Mm-hmm. The product is called the Horusdy, Horusdy liquid transfer pump. So
cool.
All right. So I love that. That is my summer's coming mom hack.
Yeah. It makes me want to get a cool water table for the girls. Ours is just a boring flat basin. I think they need something cool for the summer.
Well, just keep an eye out on Facebook because people get rid of those all the time.
Oh, all right. Will do. A hack within a hack.
But that was my last hack.
I love it. All right. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, so we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative from the week. Shauna, what you got? BFP or BFN?
I have a BFM, which is a big fat mystery because you are not going to find out yet whether it's a BFP or BFN because I'm going to tell a little bit of a story first.
Ooh, I love a mystery. All right.
It's actually an update to last week's story about my karate saga.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so let me remember. So you had gone to this karate studio, and at first it seemed fine. So you signed Elle up for like 3 months of classes or something.
Uh-huh.
And then you went to the second class and it was not fine. You did not feel good about how he was disciplining the students. So you decided you should pull Elle out of the studio, but you were too chicken to ask for your money back until your therapist was like, now's a great time to be assertive. And you're like, fuck. So you sent an email and said you were withdrawing her. And then they said, can you please tell us more? And you said, yes, here is all of the information. And then you hadn't heard back.
Good.
Was that a good summary? Okay.
That was perfection. That's exactly what happened. So I've been living on pins and needles, waiting to see what they would say. And this week, at some point, I was like, I gotta follow up with them, and just hadn't done it yet. And then I was working the other day and I get a text message from the owner / teacher who I had a problem with, from him personally. And I saw like the first little line of it, right? Because I have like my message preview on my phone. And I was like, oh, fuck. He wrote me back. I don't want to read it. And I messaged Steve because we work in separate parts of the house, so we just message each other all day long. I was like, Steve, he wrote me back, and I don't want to read it. And he's like, forward it to me, I'll read it. And I was like, this is not what we're working on, Shauna. This is not this is not the point in the game where you give up on your lesson. So after letting it sit there for about an hour, just kind of like staring at me, I was like, okay, fine, I'll read it. And I was 100% expecting him to be like, go fuck yourself, like, that's how I run my studio, and you know, the kids need to learn discipline. If you don't like it, too bad, and you sign a contract and too bad.
Yeah.
So I opened the email finally, and it was so fucking nice. It was like a really long text message. He was like, I've been out of town and I just caught up with your email correspondence, and I'm so sorry you had a bad experience in class. Elle is a really focused student, a fast learner, and he addressed like all the different points that I made in my email about what, you know, his thinking behind and what the situation was. And then he's like, as for the impatience with the kids, I admit I was really low on patience that day and it totally got in the way of my teaching. And I apologize. If you still want to disenroll from the studio, I completely understand. Again, I apologize. And I was just like, what?
Someone taking constructive feedback well? What?
Yeah, especially big, scary authority fighter guy. Like, I just thought his ego was going to be too big to handle that kind of criticism from a little lady, basically, you know. Oh my god. So I was just like, well, shoot, I appreciate that, you know, that's not what I was expecting, and if he can own up to it, I would be willing to give it another chance, right? Because the first class really was so great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Steve, am I crazy for wanting to go back and give it another chance? And he's like, no, just, you know, give it another shot and whatever. So I wrote back. I was like, thank you for your kind response and I appreciate your openness, and we'll give the studio another shot. And we came in later that day and like class was great. It was disciplinary with the kids who are often left field, but in a kinder way. You know, there's a lot more positive reinforcement for the kids who are doing well. His temper wasn't short, you know, and he like gave out little prizes to the kids who worked really hard, including Elle. She got like a little prize at the end of class, which was just like a little toy or something, but she loved it. And it was just a different experience. And let me tell you, I was scared shitless to go to that studio and face the man I called out.
Yeah.
On all his behavior. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I like have to look him in the eye. I was so nervous. But I'm like, God, like, this is, I guess, the crap you have to do when you're a mom. I'm like, oh, well, like, here we go. And and I did it. And it was good. So my big fat mystery is actually that it turned out to a BFP.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I feel like there's got to be some listeners out there who are very confident and assertive, listening and being like, I don't get it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, you were scared to go into the studio? Like, what? I 100% get it. I am so like conflict averse.
Yeah.
Bringing anything up, like voicing a minor grievance, makes me feel like I've committed like a crime or something.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I'm saying
it's so weird, and it's so like when you analyze it, you're like, well, that's wrong. Like this should be a non-issue, right? Mm-hmm. It should just be like a open discussion, and there's no feelings in there. But it, yeah, I could feel those nerves inside my body when you told that story. So I'm really glad. Mm-hmm. That
Thank
it turned
you.
Into a BFP.
Yeah, it's good. So she's enjoying her class, becoming a little karate butt kicker, I guess. and it's all resolved.
Have you had a chance to tell your therapist about it?
Yes, he was so proud of me. Oh my God. Oh my God, it was hilarious. He was like, Shauna, oh my God, I'm just so proud of you. I was like, well, thank you. Like this whole situation turned into like me being the gold star student. Like this is good. Hilarious. Amazing. All right. So what about you? What do you got for us this week?
I have a very straightforward BFP. There's okay. no mystery.
All right.
So my BFP is that Augie's school is actually starting to lift some of its COVID protocols.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that we are suddenly allowed to go pick him up in the classroom instead of having to wait outside and have him delivered at
oh,
the end of the day.
So fun. Yay.
So this week, for the first week, I was able to like walk through the gates of the school and pick him up from his classroom. And actually, it's outside of his classroom because they're always playing outside at the end uh-huh. of the day. But it was awesome for me. Like, I loved being able to like walk in and, you know, see him playing with his friends. And then when he noticed me, you know, his teacher was like, Augie, Mama's here. The look on his face, like he turned around and just lit up mm-hmm. and ran to me and like basically leapt in my arms, you know, and he was like, Aww. Mama. And it was just such a wonderful moment. It's just like such a nice feeling because it feels so much more normal, even though I never mm-hmm. had anything to compare it to because I never had that experience before.
Right.
Because I enrolled him during COVID. So I had only been in his school physically once for like an outdoor parents like afternoon thing, like a 45 minute we like hang out in the courtyard with masks on thing, you know, so right. like I hadn't really seen him in his school context at all. So getting to walk in and see him playing with his friends, and then it was a weight lifted off my shoulders that I didn't know was there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's so normal. It really is. And that's one reason kindergarten for Elle has felt so bad to me, because that's the kind of experience I had with her preschool, right? It was mm-hmm. just like I was so I spent time in her classroom and in the play area, and we got to go in and meet teachers, and I still haven't seen her kindergarten room at all or mm-hmm. been on her campus at all. It feels so distant and like, who am I sending my kids into? Where? I don't know. This is a mom. I think that uncertainty and unknowing mm-hmm. is a little bit unnerving, but when you can take that away and see where they are and see how they act in their environment, it's uplifting.
Yeah, because it's just a weird experience to like, you know, we'd show up in the morning, we'd be loitering in the parking lot in line to go in. They'd open the big metal gate with security on it, you know, because it has to have mm-hmm. security. It's a preschool. I'd hand him off to his teachers and then he'd disappear into the mm-hmm. void.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I'd like go on the app and text that I was there and he would reappear.
Oh my God.
So this is so much better. And I want to try to like secretly get some video of him, like start taking video before he notices I'm there one of these days and
yeah.
get him running to me. So,
oh, that sounds awesome. So great. And that's the nice yeah. thing about us starting preschool now too, is that we are, you know, in a time where the COVID protocols are lifted and I can go in and, you know, we toured and we were able to be there, and they don't have masks for the kids anymore, even at this place. So mm-hmm. it's definitely a more hands-on feel, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. But anyway, that was a nice addition to this week, and I think that's it for me.
All right. Shall we read a 5-star review?
I think we should. Shauna, it's your turn.
Okay. I have one from Tordell Parker on Apple Podcasts. They say, "Hi, best podcast, 5 stars. I'm a new mom. I binge listened to this whole podcast while I was pregnant and through the birth of my child. I love how informative this podcast is, as well as I have laughed out loud to these two. Thank you. And thank you.
Thank you. We love hearing reviews like that.
We really do. And listeners, if you would like to leave us a 5-star review, we might read it on an upcoming episode. So head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave that review. And also, if you have any gripes you'd like to share with us, you know we'd love to hear them. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. You can include a voice memo in there. We love those. And if you want to join the absolute coolest group of people on the internet, I'm not kidding. These people are awesome. Search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to request to join and answer the 2 membership questions so we know you're not a robot. And then we'll send you straight through to all the amazing conversations we're having in there.
And if you love our show, let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.